Football Podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As you know, we're in a series called A Star is Born, and as we've referenced to you, this is no connection with the movie, but it is a good title because it talks about the real star who's born. And we said that the reason why we were doing this is to answer the question, what are you celebrating? And not only what are you celebrating, why Christmas? Why are we even making a big deal out of this? The text that we used was in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. Interesting verse where it talks about Jesus, the coming of the king. It talks about the Son of God who is born to us. But what makes this verse very interesting are the words, the government shall be upon our shoulder. In other words, you think about Christmas, the last thing you would think about is the word government. It would be the furthest thing from our heads. And yet the Bible tells us that with Christmas comes this idea of governance. In the last few weeks, we talked about this idea of what government is and the way God intended it. And Christmas brings that to us. I referenced to you a trip to the zoo, and I talked to you a little bit about the tiger in the cage. And it's a picture of governance. When you have external government that protects you from eating people, if you remove that cage and that tiger is set free, that tiger is capable of doing all sorts of things. There is, therefore, internal governance, and there is this thing called external governance. Christmas is the epitome of internal governance, where God comes into our lives and our hearts and governs us internally, that there is no need for a cage. There's actually greater freedom because of what Christ did for me. When we understand that, then Christmas is worth celebrating, because now I'm free to be who I was created to be and not be restricted by external things or commands, but because God's truth is in my heart. Thus, I'm able to journey through life because I can direct myself. I don't need someone to necessarily direct me. I can restrain myself. I don't need someone to restrain me, because government is in my heart. Now, we spoke and talked about the second half of this verse. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And we said that governance requires this idea of pele, Hebrew word for miraculous, marvelous, wonderful counsel. Cannot govern without wisdom. You cannot drive through life or be directed through life without the right things in your head and in your heart. We talked at length about this idea of a proven sacred, something that's transcendent beyond our time here on earth, wisdom. Then we said it last week, I believe Pastor Larry and others may have spoken here, and talked about this idea of a mighty God. You can't govern with just wisdom. You can have all the wisdom in the world. If you don't have the power to execute that wisdom, government doesn't work. And thankfully, Jesus is not just the epitome of wonderful, miraculous counsel. He has the power and the ability to make things happen in our lives. The Bible tells us that in him we move and have our being. In him we can do all things. That power that is latent in us is not just miraculous power that solves things. It's power to overcome situations, climb mountains, and do things that are in many ways impossible for us. But what makes this verse unique is this term called Everlasting Father. A government should be wise, should have wonderful counsel. A government should have the power or the army to execute that counsel, that wisdom. But a government should be motivated by love. Hopefully, the people that govern us, whether that's civil government or God himself, has this care and love for us. That the motive behind it is not just wisdom and power, but love. And what separates God's government is not just that it is motivated by love, and hopefully every government is like that, that there's a motivation to be a father to a nation, but yet every nation or every civil government has its limits. And only God has this unlimited, everlasting ability to be a father. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that he's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. This is Jesus, picture of a father. And you have to ask the question, why is Jesus the father when he's the son? How many of you know, you ever thought about how weird that is? If Jesus is the Son, then why is he the everlasting Father? Because he's the imprint, he's the picture. If you could imagine Christmas Eve in heaven and Jesus is packing his bags to go to earth with the foreknowledge of his Father that he's going to die and he's going to be murdered and crucified and whipped, and yet the Father willingly does that to the Son so that you and I can be eternally become his children and enjoy this relationship of an everlasting Father. Thus, Jesus is the picture of that idea. It's very hard to understand fatherhood until you actually become one. And that's why sometimes when you say father, there is a negative imprint, the stern one, the strict one, the abuser, the detached one, the guy who's unreliable. But that's not the picture of fatherhood. Until you become a real father, you begin to understand that. I was gone for 7 days. I was on vacation with my children. And for the last 5 years, we sat down with our children and said, listen, thank God you're grown up and you're out of our lives. Amen. Suddenly realized that we're not as poor as we thought we were. And we sat down with them and said, from now on, every Christmas, let's not give each other gifts, okay? You just pay for your own vacation and let's just gather together on a vacation. How many of you know that's wisdom? That's miraculous counsel, amen? And so for the last 5 years, that's what we've been doing. And this year, we gathered together as a family and we bravely brought a baby and three, a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and a one-year-old. And we went on this trip. And I took this picture of my son. And now he's 35 years old. I've been a father for 35 years. And no matter how hard I try to protect this child, you can see that there's a scrape on the side of his head. I couldn't protect him. I actually almost lost him. Because there's a level of limitation that I have that even though I genuinely love this child and desire the best for him, I have limits. I want to provide for him, but hey, I'm not paying for your airplane tickets every year, amen? And certainly not for all your children. I wish I was a multimillionaire and I could do that, but I can't. I have limits. And that's why I need an everlasting father. And a father, as much as I desire to prosper him and to mature and to grow, as I look at that picture, I'm realizing I have limits. And now I'm realizing he has limits. That he can't do that to his son. He can only do so much that this son has to grow up. And herein lies, we realize the wisdom of God in this idea of an everlasting father. Many times we're looking for the perfect scenario. And in 61 years of walking this earth, there's one conclusion I have, and there's nothing perfect about this world. And I've grown to realize that what God's really doing is not perfection, but preparation. And as a father, that's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to find a perfect scenario for my kids that will be perfectly protected. I am constantly preparing my children. I remember one time I was talking to one of my sons, and I called him up and I said, I won't mention his name because this is being recorded, but he knows who he is. And I said, you know what, I hope you don't mind me saying this. Well, your kids are adults. You can't just tell them anything anymore, right? You have to couch it nicely. It's words like, I hope you don't mind me saying this. But you were so grouchy. It didn't look good to your brothers, to your wife, your children, to your child, and to us. And I want to tell you something. The reason why you're grouchy is because you saw me grouchy. Amen? And the reason why I'm grouchy is because I saw my father grouchy. But here's why I'm telling you this. Because I love you enough to tell you it's not right. And I'm preparing you to be the person you're supposed to be. God is doing the same thing. If you're looking for perfection on this earth, it's not happening. In fact, as you grow older, you'll find greater imperfections even in your own marriage. Because where perfection is in heaven, in everlasting, eternal life with God. All this that we're doing here, folks, is preparation. And that's what fathers do. And he warns us in Ecclesiastes, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If I were not so, I would have not told you. Therefore, I go to prepare a place for you. It's preparation, folks. If we're always looking for the perfect house, the perfect situation, the perfect vacation, the perfect marriage, the perfect this, it isn't coming. Amen? Gosh, you're quiet today. If that's what you're looking for, I have news for you. It isn't coming. It's you constantly being prepared by the Father. It's you changing issues in your life and giving up turf. We went to a place, a mountain place called Jofen. And this was one of the most ridiculous things we did on this trip. This is like a mountain area with staircases, and it was raining. How many of you know, and you can't bring strollers here. So now you're carrying three children with umbrellas for 2.5 hours. How many of you know that is not a perfect vacation? By the time we got to the end of the thing, these kids were laughing and we were all waiting to die. And my four-year-old grandson was walking, obviously. That's the easiest one. The middle guy is very light. He's skinny. He's skinny and short, so he's light. The guy on the left is 29 pounds. So every time I would see my son coming near, I'm trying to walk away. I'm just being honest. Dave, sorry. Okay, he might hear this. But I didn't. It was a strategy. Because I could see his face. His face, he was dying. There's a limit to who we are as fathers. There's a limit to us as individuals. And that's why we need, desperately need, an everlasting Father. As I get older, the weaker I get. But the good news is I'm not trying to just be perfect. I have a Heavenly Father. The second point is perpetuity, not preservation. So many times we're trying to preserve this earth. We're trying to preserve this world. We're trying to create legacies. We take pictures like it's never going to end. Some of you have 30,000 pictures. Do you know it will take you 3 lifetimes to see all those pictures? It is not about preservation. It's actually about perpetuity. It's passing it on to the next generation. I'm not trying to stay as a pastor. I left the church in Manila. I had a great position. I left it not because I was trying to preserve my position. I'm trying to perpetuate that. I'm trying to make sure that the guys that carry on are still preaching this gospel. Because that's the one that is going to preserve you, is only that gospel. Because that preservation is only in eternity. Anything that is created on this earth has limits. And anything on this earth, as try as hard as you want to preserve it, you're not doing it. You can't. It wasn't designed that way. Biochemistry is trying to search for the cell that will live forever and will never stop growing. They've already found it. It's called cancer. It never dies and it keeps growing. Because that's the design, folks. There's a limitation and a tentativity to this life. And that's why you need an everlasting Father. That's why Christmas is important. Because as hard as you try to last 100 years on this earth, it ain't happening. And I never felt it more than during this trip. It was tiring. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Christmas. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what this is about. Now, don't make a mistake of thinking that just because it's about everlasting life, you're supposed to behave badly here. On the contrary, because you have limited time here, you behave your best here. You give it your best here, and you allow God to prepare you here. That's the point. It is wrong practice, wrong theology, wrong thinking to think that just because it's tentative, I'll just blow it up. No. I'm here to perpetuate this. I'm here to model this to my children. What am I modeling? That I can preserve the earth? No, I'm modeling to them how I hand it off to you, and you hand it off to him. That there's this message of eternal life in Jesus Christ, which is the greatest thing the greatest thing you could leave your children, more than the toys, more than the gifts, more than the clothes. That's the one gift you should be leaving them. Should not perish. Ecclesiastes chapter, I'm going to breeze through this. But it says that for there's time and a season for every activity. That's what perpetuity is. It's time and seasons. Under heaven, there is a limitation. There's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a beginning and an ending. If there's anything that defines time and season, you have no control over it. You don't control when you're born, and you don't control when you die. Interestingly, when you read through the rest of the verses, you will find at the bottom in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. God makes things beautiful while you're on this earth. Death has its own set of beauty. When you get to that place, when you understand that you're really growing older in God, losing life so that you shall find it, when you're ready to divest more of things and realize I'm headed towards eternity, life becomes peaceful and life happens when you're not too busy trying to preserve what you have here. And then it says, also, everybody say also. Do your best here. There's a time for everything. Everything's beautiful. He has put eternity into our hearts. There's something in our hearts that's longing for something perfect. Something that will preserve us for all of eternity. Yet so he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. In other words, there's something that's beyond our ability to fathom. If you could take the most beautiful things that you can imagine on this earth and put them all together, multiply them a few trillion times, that's what eternity looks like. And keep dreaming about it. Keep thinking about it. And as you think of that, you think of yourself as being prepared and being preserved for something perfect. That's why I live the way I live when I'm here. Perpetuity is, I'm not trying to preserve this thing. The only thing I can do for these guys is pray for them, disciple them, live a life that models love for God, love for my wife. My 4-year-old grandson kept saying, Mama, Papa, I want to be with Tata and Nana. And the whole trip, he just wanted to hang around my wife. So I finally just sat him down and said, why do you like hanging out with Nana? He said, she just has such a kind face. I didn't even know where he got these words. It's because of the kindness extended to him. Its perpetuity is not gifts. It's something you pass, actually, rather naturally. Perpetuity is passing it on to your son and that son passing it on to his other son. That's how you perpetuate it. It's not trying to preserve it. You can Botox your face. You can bathe in Botox. You're not going to preserve yourself. You perpetuate. You model. You pass it on because you're headed for something permanent where you're truly preserved. For whoever should save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, shall find it. It's interesting how the more I lose things, the more I let go of things, the more life gets better. It's counterintuitive. It's very interesting. I'm beginning to just learn it now. And the more I try to hold on to things, the more ridiculous life gets. Because I'm realizing I need more hard drives for more pictures. Hello. That I won't even have time to look at. It's preparation, not perfection, folks. It's perpetuity, not preservation. You can preserve all day long. Call it legacy. Call it whatever you want. There is actually only one legacy. The King Jesus, who saved you, who changed you, who transformed you, who gave his very best to you, that you should show others that they should have him. It's purpose, not permanence. I close with this last point. The best thing you can do for your children, best thing you can do for people, best thing you can do for yourself. It's something this church has been trying to tell you for the longest time. Pray. I pray for my children. I prayed for my children's wives. I pray for everything because I have no capacity. I have no ability to direct their lives. It was so evident on this trip, and I'm trying very hard to keep pace. And everybody's walking faster as I'm walking slower. But I can pray. I can't control the rain, but I can pray that even though there is a rain, that they would have raincoats or something. I don't have control over things, but I can meditate on that word and know and think. I picture eternity as this beautiful. I've got pictures of eternity that's so beautiful. I'm picturing myself jumping up and down different planets. I'm excited for it. In many ways, that's why I'm not afraid of dying. It's because I've got this picture, this meditating mind that says to me, this is a temporary place. And this Jesus, this God, became Emmanuel, became a human being to show me this reality. That I have an everlasting Father who's waiting for me. Literally waiting for me. Almost like the prodigal son. He couldn't wait. He wasn't looking for a perfect child to come home. He was looking for an imperfect child who was running home. Because that's where the permanence is. That's where the security is. That's where the preservation is. That's where the perfect. Here, it's all tentative. I wanted to prolong the vacation. It was over. No more money. Amen. It's just life. It's a place to proclaim this gospel that is worthy of proclamation. And I teach my children fellowship. Why gifts are not as important as this trip. Because when we hang out together and we talk about God, and one evening we sat down, my wife opened the old book, the old Advent wreath, and read the same old story in the book of Luke. Ready to our daughters-in-law, ready to our grandchildren, ready to our children for 35 years. This is the everlasting Father. This is who God is for us. And this is what Christmas is all about. Amen? Do you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for eternity. Thank you for preparing us to live a life of perfection with you. Thank you for perpetuating your word so that we might be preserved for eternity. And thank you, God, that you are watching over our souls with a purpose. That we might one day live in permanence. God, we love you. We praise you. We give all the glory, all the praise belong to you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.